Good evening, everyone. Certainly a blessing to be back again, to learn, to read and study again for God's Word. I got a text message. I wanted to let y'all all know that Jordan and his family made it home safe, and he said to tell everybody thank you. Thank you for the meal that was prepared, the food that they had, for the welcome that they had. And he said he couldn't wait to get back and fellowship with us again at some point. So he was very blessed and very thankful for everyone that was here. So thank y'all for that also. If you have a Bible, I would like for you to open up to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 3 through 10. And we're going to kind of dissect that as we go along. We'll go into some other books also, but we'll dissect these few verses right here as we go through here. So 2 Peter 1, verse 3. He says, His divine power has given us everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that's in the world that's caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we're told here, just from what we read, you should understand that God has given us everything we need to live a life of righteousness. We have all the tools that we need to build, to strengthen, to battle any situation that comes our way. We know that for certain because God sent His Son into the world that we might live through Him. And we can find that scripture in 1 John chapter 4. In verse 9, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9 says, This is how God showed His love among us, that He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Although our friends and loved ones may disown us for following Jesus, outsiders as well might say, well, these people are doing what they want and we're going to do what we want. They might not agree with the way that you live your lives, but you are very welcomed in Jesus Christ's life, and we understand that so much and care so much for Him that we're willing to let go of whatever it takes to follow Him. So, we know that it hurts when someone leaves us and there's disappointment of that. But we have to stand with our Lord and Savior to make sure that our calling is correct and right. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world? It's only he who believes that Jesus is God's Son. That's a step for us, isn't it? To understand, to believe that Jesus is God's Son. God gives us the ability to believe. And by believing God's testimony, in 1 John 5:11 says, God has given us eternal life. And this life is His Son. He who has the Son has life. But he who does not have the Son does not have life. By having Jesus in our life, we can defeat evil and overcome the world, can't we? So it's important for us to continue to read, to continue to study, to continue to follow God's Word. This is important for us. While you're there in 1 John, flip over to 3 John. 3 John, verse 11. Dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. I've really never thought of it that I've seen God in that aspect. But we know God, and God knows us. From the scriptures that we read this morning in John chapter 10. Because Jesus said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. You remember that in John chapter 10? I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. It's important for us to know God, to love God, and to care for God. To have Jesus Christ with us. To understand that He is with us, holding our hand, guiding us where we go. If you would, turn back to 2 Peter. And let's look at verse 4. Now, well, we'll just go back to 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. You remember 3 John, what we just read, verse 11? Anyone, it says, dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. You see, through God's Son, Jesus Christ's death on that cross, we have that precious promise of eternal salvation through His death, burial, and His resurrection. And by knowing this, we know that we can overcome the corruption of this world with the help of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But we got to be willing to allow Him to help us. So it takes that first step of saying, I can't do this by myself. I need you. I need you to be with me. Sometimes that's the hardest step for us to take, to admit that we need help. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, he tells us that since Christ suffered in His body, that we should arm ourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. You see, when we talked about earlier, maybe somebody disowning us, maybe we lose a loved one, maybe we lose a friend that we thought was our friends, but by coming into Christ, they might leave us. What does this tell us right here? Since Christ suffered in his body, this is just a little bit of suffering. It's not much for us, is it? It's not nothing compared to what Jesus Christ had to go through. He says we should arm ourselves also with the same attitude because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. Now, once we have Christ in our life, we're done with sin. We cannot allow that to reign in us anymore. That's over with for that. In James chapter 4 and verse 7, we're told to submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do we do that? With Christ Jesus' help, right? He says, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. Because the devil is sin. And he can't attack you if sin's not in you. So resist him. In verse 8, he says, come near to God and he will come near to you. By living through Christ, we are able to defeat the devil and we can bring others to Christ through our actions and the lives that we live for Christ. No matter what comes our way, we always know that God will never leave us and He will never forsake us, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. God said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That means He won't forget you. Isn't that a precious and glorious and great promise that God has given us? That He will not leave us and He will not forsake us. Go back to 2 Peter again. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. You look at all of these goodness. What's good? Jesus Christ is good. What's knowledge? Jesus Christ is knowledge. Where do we receive the knowledge from? Scripture. Where do we receive the goodness from? Scripture. Self-controlled. And to persevere. That means that you yourself read, study, and work hard at it. You persevere with Christ Jesus' help. Godliness. How do we live godly? How are we godly? Because we are a part of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is God's Son. So when we live in Jesus, we are godly people, and we should live godly lives according to that. So we should be self-controlled. We should have perseverance, and we should be godly. And with this godliness, we should have brotherly kindness. And through this brotherly kindness, we should have love towards everyone, not just some people. It's supposed to be for everyone. That's the one that's the most difficult for us to understand. That's the one that's the toughest for us. Brotherly kindness to our brothers in Christ is simple. Brotherly kindness to our sisters in Christ is simple. But brotherly kindness to someone who's a murderer is difficult for us. But it wasn't too difficult for Jesus Christ to die on that cross for that individual. You remember the criminals that was on the cross beside Him? One of them wanted to repent and one of them didn't want to repent. The one that repented, Jesus said, today you will be with Me. He has forgiveness for anyone. It doesn't matter how bad they was, if they truly repent and ask for help from Him. That's difficult for someone to do. I understand that fully. So Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 5 through 7 tells us to add to our faith goodness. Remember that. Knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, kindness, and finally, love. Love is very important for us. Titus chapter 2, in verse 11, tells us to live our lives self-controlled, upright, and godly while we wait on the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. We have been purified from that sin that once held us captive. We was prisoners to that sin at one time. But we're not anymore because we live through Jesus Christ. So we must fight off all of those evil desires and thoughts and whatever it is that comes our way, the same instructions that Paul gave to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. And you see these instructions that he gives him, and you're like, wow, that's for me also. 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 11. He says, but you, man of God, flee from all of this. and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. You see, all of these that we just read right here, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness, all ties in to 5 through 7. All of it's the same. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So that means we are told to grab a hold, Jesus said. He said, flee from all things that are evil. Chase after what is good, what lasts forever. Not the things of this world that will perish and be gone in a blink of an eye. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. Now, if we are one with Christ, we must display Jesus in our everyday lives also. So that means for us to put work in. As Thurman sang the songs about working for the Lord today, we have to be willing to work for Jesus Christ, to put effort into it, not just, well, I was there today and that was good enough for me. I heard a little bit and that was good enough. No, we have to be focused, truly focused. We have to read, we have to study, we have to persevere, we have to overcome, we have to adapt. We have to do everything possible for Him. Because look what He did for us. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, Paul said, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am the worst one. You see, Paul said that because the Apostle Paul was one that said, stone Stephen, kill him. Take them prisoners, take them to jail, imprison them. Take him and strap him, beat him. He's doing what's wrong. And he was doing this to God's people, to Christians like you and I. Paul said, Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and then he goes on to say, of whom I am the worst. So no matter how bad someone is, Jesus is there to save them. He uses this as an example for us to show His mercy, His patience, as an example through the Apostle Paul to those who believe on Him and receive eternal life. You see how God works? God used Paul to spread His word, to show that no matter how bad you are, you can change. You can be sinless. You don't have to live a life of sin no more. You don't have to be captive to that anymore. 2 Peter, if you would go back over there to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. For if you possess the qualities that we talked about earlier in an increasing measure, and those qualities, again, were faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Verse 8, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we increase daily in Jesus, we will be able to help others. I was told one time by a guy, if you pay attention every day, you will learn something new. And I just kind of snickered because I was 16 years old at the time. I went, wow. And the older I got, I went, that guy was right. He was absolutely correct. If you will pay attention every day, you will learn something new. Every time that I open up the Bible and read, I catch something that I missed before. And I might have read it 50 times or 100 times. And I catch something and go, wow, how did I miss that all the times that I have read this and I'd never caught it? You will learn something new every day. And that's what we are told to do, is increase our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the knowledge of Jesus Christ is setting in front of you, written down in Scripture for us. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11 says, encourage one another and build each other up. We are to build each other up as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not just my job to build up one of you or two of you or just three of you. It would be my job to build up each of you. And it's your job to lift up everyone else that's here also. If we encourage one another the way that Jesus Christ wants us to be encouraged, I got that wrong the way I said that. It didn't sound good. If we encourage Jesus Christ the way He has encouraged us, if we encourage others in Jesus the way He encouraged us, we can go farther than anyone can ever imagine. For Philippians 4 and 13 tells us that we can do anything through Him who gives me strength. So I understand fully that I can do anything through Jesus Christ who strengthens me, is another way to put that. Galatians 5, 1, we're told to stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. So that means to read and study again, doesn't it? That means to follow God's Word. That means to continue working for God while we're here. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's in John chapter 10, verse 11. And in John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus said, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. You see, we talked about this a little bit earlier. We are the sheep. And don't you think that it's a blessing to be able to say that we know Jesus? And to be able to say we are doing what Jesus wants us to do? Isn't it a blessing to fully understand that Jesus knows us and that He watches over us? And if we follow Him, that He will take care of us as long as we keep pushing forward and doing His will daily? Because we talked about it earlier, didn't we, that Jesus will never leave us and He'll never forsake us. You remember that? That's important scripture for us to try to remember and search and to live our lives out. Stay in John there in chapter 10 and go down to verse 27. Now, I really like this scripture here because I have cattle at home and I can just make a noise and my cattle come to me. I can honk a horn in my pickup and my cattle will come to me. I can walk out in the pasture and they're not distressed because I talk to them when I get there. But if I take one of my grandkids with me, they run from me. If I take my son with me, they run from me. If I take my wife with me, they run from me. It's because they know my voice and they know who I am and they know their calling and they come to me because they know me. And it's because I spend so much time with them. Now, I do have a grandson, granted, that can make the same sound that I do, and he's 2 years old, and they will come to him when he makes that sound. So I'm not the only one that can call them. So and it is important for us to understand that what we do in our lives, there is always someone else watching and wanting to be like us. When I tell you that, my little grandson being able to do that, he's wanting to be like Bobal. So he's trying to imitate everything that I possibly do, as we are told to imitate God in our lives. You see how that all plays out? So listen to this scripture here in verse 27 in chapter 10 of John. He says, and this is Jesus speaking here. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. He says, no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. We're also told in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And we know that once we are a part of Jesus Christ, that the devil cannot come and snatch you away from him. The only way that we depart from Jesus is if we walk away on our own from him. Because when we have him with us, nothing can take us away. Jesus Christ himself said that in the book of John in chapter 10 in verse 29. Finally, if you would go over to the second to the last book of our scripture, Jude 20 through 23. But you, dear friends, I'm speaking to all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by the corrupt flesh. Isn't that beautiful, the way Jude put that? Let's read 22 one more time. Be merciful to those who doubt. That means we got to be patient with them, don't we? Because that patience, we got to have the knowledge to be able to talk to them. We got to have the patience to wait on them, to wait it out, to work it out, to make sure that it keeps going, to not give up. We got to be able to read. We got to persevere, and we got to show that kindness. So we're fixing to get to that again here. He says, snatch others from the fire. That's from the evil, from the devil is what he's saying. Save them. That's our responsibility, to help others the best that we can. To show mercy mixed with fear. What do we have to fear? Only God. We fear God because God can take everything away from us in a moment if we're not with him. So if you stand with God, everything's okay. But outside of that, you better fear, because there's nothing good for that. We are to hate even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Even the clothing that's stained by the flesh. We are supposed to hate that. That tells us right there that we are to fight and battle and keep moving forwards to stay away from that life of sin. Whatever it is that draws us away from Christ, whatever it is that draws us away from our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to battle that and fight that. And if you can't understand that Jesus is there for you, you need to understand that there is brothers and sisters out there that are fighting the same battles daily. And you can call upon them, and they are there to help you with these battles. But they can't help you if you're not willing to ask for the help. If I'm not willing to ask for the help of it. Finally, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, therefore, my dear brothers, the Apostle Paul says, stand firm. And he said, let nothing move you. He said, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Brothers and sisters in Christ, stand firm. Do not let nothing move you, and always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, Jesus Christ. because you do realize, and that's something that is promised to us, that Jesus Christ did not die on that cross for no reason. He died for a reason and a purpose. And that purpose was to save sinners. We know in John chapter 3, verse 16, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And in verse 17, that it wasn't to condemn the world, but it was to save the world. That God gave His only begotten Son to die on that cross for us. For that love and that honor and that respect that He bestowed upon us. For us to sit back and say, I don't have to do anything but be baptized and I'm good. I can go one time a week or one time a month to church and whatever and just sit at home and it's okay. That's not what God chose us for. God chose us for a set purpose. He chose us to do His work and His will while we're here on earth. As we talked about this morning, the Apostle Paul worked and he worked and he worked. You know, before he became Paul the Apostle, he was Saul. And while he was Saul, he gave 110% into persecuting the Christians. And once he became a Christian himself, he gave 110%, maybe more, of an effort to save souls throughout the world. He was in prison. He was beaten. He was stoned, left for dead. He gets up the next day and he goes to preach the good news again. Didn't matter to him. He was going to work until the last breath of his life to do what he needed to. And we have that same opportunity and the same responsibility here today in 2022. If anybody needs anything, needs thoughts or prayers, or you don't know Jesus in this way, please come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation that Thurman sings.